Singing scripture. Wow. Music has power. Music has power beyond the spoken word often. Madison Avenue found that out a long time ago. That's why we hear all these jingles and all these little silly little songs on TV for commercials, because we remember them. Music has power to it. When you're singing scripture, you're learning it. That's a great way to learn scripture. Certainly God must be very pleased when we learn scripture, even when we're singing scripture, which is a great thing. I believe that we have been created to sing. It's part of our humanness. I've taken a look at world cultures and generations of world cultures, and there's many things that we have in common. One of them is the fact we're a musical person. In our humanness, we have music. Nations have their anthems, don't they? Armies have their marches. Schools have their alma maters. We sing in the shower. Nature sings. We listen to the sounds, the music of nature. You know, God even had music at the time of creation, we read. And then, of course, times of redemption, there is singing. We find at the time of the Exodus, there was singing. There's worship in song. We are designed to be musical people. I don't think it's an accident. I think God planned it that way all along. So how wonderful it is to sing hymns, to sing psalms, to sing praises to our God. I suspect this is why we were made to do that. And to sing psalms is very appropriate. You know, the psalms are actually the Hebrew hymn book. These were not written to be read. We read them, but they're written to be sung. We lose a little bit in the translation, not as easy to sing as they probably did originally, but we can still use the Psalms as our hymn book. We can also use the Psalms as our prayer book. We can take a look at Psalms and we can see, how do people approach God? How can we do that? Psalms tell us how we can approach God. We can also use the Psalms as what we might call a book of evidence. We can learn things about our Lord through the Psalms. And of course, we can use it as a training manual for holiness and for righteousness. We can learn a lot about holiness through reading the Psalms. I will give you some advance notice. In the month of July, Len Brooks has the bulk of the teaching on Sundays, and he's going to be taking a look with us. He's going to be leading us in a look at the Psalms, the book of the Psalms, not just a psalm here, a psalm there, but a look at this book of Psalms. And I'm sure it's going to be a great study. It's a wonderful thing to do during the summer. And I love the music of New Song. I love the songs that they sing. I enjoy it so much. I also love their name. They're called New Song. And I don't think that's an accident either. It's a great musical phrase. We find the word New Song in Psalms, many Psalms, as a matter of fact. We also find the word New Song in Isaiah. We also find the word New Song in the book of Revelation. And it's just a great term. Psalm 33, we read, sing to him a new song. In Psalm 40, verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 98, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. Psalm 144 says, I will sing a new song to thee, O God. Psalm 149 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Now, singing a new song has nothing to do with obtaining a brand new hymnal, or even singing a song we haven't heard before. We talked a little bit about that during the preliminaries. You know, it's hard to sing something that's new, isn't it? Something that we don't know. It doesn't even have anything to do with learning some up-to-date praise chorus. It doesn't have anything to do with picking out a new tune to use with some of the old words. And I'm kind of glad. Brand new can be very intimidating. It's intimidating out in the secular world, potentially explosive, because we have our tastes in music, don't we? Which is basically determined by our past experience. This is true in secular music. It's also true within the church. We somehow or other resent something new. Not that there's anything wrong with something new, but it's just different. But singing a new song really has nothing to do with learning a new song. I think that singing a new song, as far as scripture is concerned, has to do with a personal heart attitude that is caused because of our relationship to God through faith in the finished work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Singing a new song can even be done by those who are what we might call vocally challenged. You don't have to have a great voice to sing a new song. This is what salvation does. It generates music within us, deep within our soul. When a person is in fellowship with the Lord, that person has a new song of praise to him. In fact, the source of that new song is the Lord himself. It is the Lord who gives us that new song. This is what the freedom of guilt of sin gives. It brings a new song of praise to the Lord. Of course, when we think of the term new song, we might want to compare it with the old song. And think about this. I know there are many here today who can testify, I have a new song because of my relationship with God. And we can look back and think of the old song. What was the old song like? A song of hopelessness, song of purposelessness, not knowing even why we're wandering and walking on planet Earth, a old song of boredom, an old song of grumbling, of complaining, a song of disappointments, a song of defeat, a song of pride, because the old song looks upon ourselves. Today, too, we find many people singing that old song. Look at the newspapers today. Just read the front page, and you're going to find many who have a frustration with this life, not understanding what it's all about, and they're looking for something new. They don't like the old. They're looking for something new. They're looking for something different. They're looking for a change. They're looking for something that's going to satisfy, and they're desperately seeking a new song to sing. They don't know what it is. They don't know what it's all about, but they hope that there is a new song for them to sing. And the time that we have together this morning, I'd like to just speak devotionally about this whole concept of a new song. In my study, I think I have found three new songs that Scripture talks about. Three new songs. I'd like to consider those three new songs with you. The first is the new song of redemption. The new song of redemption. You know, redemption is the theme of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Redemption. The Lord purchasing for us something that we could never do for ourselves. He did that. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we read this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is one who has the new song. All things have passed away. All those old things that we don't look upon with fondness, they've gone. They've passed away. I have something else in my heart now. There's a joy that wasn't there before. There is an enthusiasm that was never there before, an enthusiasm for the one who has given me that new life. There is praise to the one. Remember, I think this is true, that we were made to praise the Lord. We were given this musical ability to sing praises to him. This one who is a new creature in Christ can sing in victory. We know how it's going to end. We look at the newspapers and say, where is this world going? What direction are we going into? You know, we can read the book of Revelation. We know how it's going to end. We know who wrote this. We know who's in charge. We're singing before Our God Reigns, this first meeting. Our God Reigns. We know who's in charge. We know how it's going to end. And there might be some temporary setbacks, but within us, we know that there's going to be victory. One who is a new creature in Christ has purpose. We don't have to flounder in this life. We have purpose, and our purpose has to do with our relationship to him and fitting in with his program. And there's hope, not a hope that says, well, I hope it doesn't rain today. It's a hope that's a positive thing. The hope of the church is the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Let me suggest that our new song goes beyond our vocal cords, that it extends to all of our attitudes, our actions, and our activities. It's our whole approach to life, you might say, that the new song within our heart comes through. It comes through. Do you have a new song? Even as you sit here this morning, do you have a new song to sing? To become a new creature in Christ, several things have to happen. Number one, there has to be repentance. You have to find a need, sense a need that we have. Each one of us has a need for sins to be forgiven. receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, and three days later, he arose from the grave with great power. Acts 16, we read, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." This is redemption. And one who has had this experience has that new song of redemption. Romans 10 and 9, "If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, ye shall be saved." Redemption, the song of the redeemed. To have a song, new song to the Lord, you must come to what Scripture calls a new creature in Christ. I remember a song not too long ago. I haven't heard it in a while. It's a song often done as a duet. "There's a new song in my heart since the Savior set me free. There's a new song in my heart. 'Tis a heavenly melody. All my sins were washed away in the blood of Calvary. Oh, what peace and joy nothing can destroy. There's a new song in my heart." Do you have a new song in your heart this morning? Do you have a new song in your heart because the blood of Calvary has washed away your sins? In Scripture, I think many of us, most of us probably, can remember the story of a man whose name was Saul of Tarsus. Remember the song that he sang? It may not have been a vocal song, but his life had a song, and the song was one of bitterness. The song we read about in the book of Acts, and he went around persecuting Christians. You might say it was a song of ignorance. It was a song of defeat. It was a song of ignorance and bitterness. But yet, compare this with Paul, his new name. Saul of Tarsus met the Lord Jesus. What a change came over Paul, or Saul. He became Paul. What a difference. What a new song he was singing. This new song that Paul was singing had to do with enlightenment. He now understood. Now, Saul of Tarsus might have been sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. When he was enlightened, he could sing a song of enlightenment. He could sing a song of love, and he could sing a song of concern for those around him. He became a new creature in Christ. He became a new creature, and what a difference that song made. Another question. In addition to the question, do you have a new song to sing? If you have a new song to sing, are you singing it? Are you singing that new song? Am I singing that new song? Some choose not to sing that song simply because of pride. You know, we don't like to show submission. We like to feel we're in control and we're in charge. But you know, when we're under the Lord's authority, we're in submission to him. And we still sing a new song, but we can do it boldly. There are some, and we read about in Scripture, who had a new song, but for whatever reason chose not to sing it. I think of Solomon, King David's son. King David, who wrote so many psalms, and actually Solomon did too, I believe, but he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes, in which he talks about and sings the song of boredom. He says, what is there to life? What is there to life? Now, he knew better, but for whatever reason, he backslid and is singing a song of defeat. He's singing a song of purposelessness, and he's trying to find meaning to life apart from God. That was the song he was singing. Purposelessness. I'm bored with life. There's no purpose under heaven. And he's trying to find that purpose under heaven without God. I believe that Solomon came above this. I think he got out of this, whatever it was he was going through. And he came back to the new song of knowing is a Savior. Think about the children of Israel. In the book of Exodus, we read about the children of Israel. Everything was going right for them. They were fulfilling God's purposes, coming out of Egypt, going into the promised land. And we might expect a song of praise on their lips, but instead we read about 40 years of grumbling, 40 years of despair, 40 years of misery, 40 years of lack of gratitude. Their focus was on their self. They chose not to look at God's big picture that they were a part of. You know, I think some Christians are like this too. We have a new song to sing, but instead choose to sing the old song. The old song of grumbling, the old song of complaining. And Scripture tells us, you know, let your light so shine before men that they may also glorify your Father in heaven. when Solomon was going through this stage when he wrote Ecclesiastes, what kind of influence was he for the Lord, singing the song that he was singing? What influence were the children of Israel to those whose paths they crossed, as long as they were doing all that grumbling? Not a very good one, I might say. Did they forget all that the Lord had done for them? And what about us? Do we remember daily what the Lord has done to us, for us? The new song is a song of praise to the Lord. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised for who he is and for all that he has done. I think there's another kind of new song that we read about in Psalms too. I'd like to take a look at that. It's in Psalm chapter 40. That third song that we heard New Song sing this morning was from Psalm 40. And just the first three verses. Psalm of David. And David writes, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust the Lord. King David was one of God's choice servants we read about in the Old Testament, perhaps the most successful king in all of those who ruled in Israel. King David enjoyed playing music. He played a harp, even as a youngster. And he played so well that King Saul invited David to come and play when he had a problem, you might say, when he needed his spirits rejuvenated. He would call David to play and to quiet his weary soul while he was in the palace. David had some great experiences, but yet he had a downside as well. He had some life experiences that were not altogether rosy and sweet, just like many of God's children. God never promises that once you are born again, that you're never going to have a problem the rest of your life. He says simply, I'm going to go through those problems with you. But King David had difficulties, he had opposition, he had turmoil, some of his own choosing. But you know, some of us have difficulties too because of our own choosing. And he writes this, I waited patiently for the Lord. That's his timing, isn't it? This is why we too need to be patient when we approach the Lord. It's his timing, it's not ours. Sometimes there are delays. In our culture, in our society, we want everything now. We want everything instantly. But yet the Lord's sway says, no, sometimes you have to wait. Wait patiently. Not an easy thing. Sometimes the Lord is still trying to get our attention. He says, I want you to wait a little bit longer. Sometimes he says, there's still a lesson I want to teach you. You're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Sometimes he says, there's a test of faith here. I want to test your faith to see if you really mean this. Sometimes there's disobedience on our part. Many causes why there's delay. But David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And this is what we need to do too. And then he says, and he inclined to me. In other words, he leaned over to meet me and he heard my cry. And no, we have a God who always does. He always does. He desires that his people come to him with their burdens. And when we do, we can be assured he inclines, he leans over to hear it, and he does hear us. And then he says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I love the imagery that we find in the book of Psalms. We find pictures of things that are very, very vivid. Now, I'm not sure whether it was a literal pit and a literal piece of miry clay that David was talking about. I suspect it was not. I suspect this is just a way of saying that he was going through a time of discouragement. He was going through a time of sorrow, some disappointment, some pain. Yeah, this happens even to the redeemed. It does happen. And it shows us that there was some desperation. There was some urgency there as well. You know, we think about a pit, falling into a pit. There's no way out of a pit, is there? No, you fall in and you're there. That's it. And we think of a pit, we think of darkness where there's absolutely no light. When you think of a pit, we think of a place of death even. This was the desperation that David was going through. But yet in the next verse he says, He set my feet upon a rock. This is what the Lord did for him, and he established his steps. This is deliverance. This is security. We often sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. This is our honor on Christ, the solid rock I stand, reestablishing his purposes. He established my steps. This is what the Lord did for him. So no matter what the problem was, the Lord was there for him. And then the results, verse 3. And he put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. A response to God's goodness is a new song. It expresses joy and gratitude. I don't think this is the new song of redemption. Because according to this first verse, I waited patiently for the Lord. I think we see David was in fellowship with the Lord at this point. But yet it's a new song of deliverance. He wants him to sing, praise the God, to the Lord because of that deliverance. And I love this next phrase. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. The testimony of a new song. The children of Israel, they lost their testimony before so many they walked before. Solomon, when he was going through this time, lost his testimony. When he's going around talking about the boredom of life and not talking about the joy that he should have been observing, he lost his testimony. But how powerful a testimony is that simply says, once I was blind, but now I can see. And this is the praise that the Lord wants, praising him for delivering us. And I bet there are many here today that can look back on a life and think of times of trouble, family trouble, personal trouble, that the Lord delivered from. You know, if that's the case, you have a new song of deliverance. You have a new song of deliverance. How do we make that new song visible? How do we let other people know? You know, you might think, well, hand out copies of the lyrics of this new song. No, that's not the way we're going to do it. If there's a new song of deliverance in our heart, you know, it's going to come through. It's going to echo. You know, if we have a passion for the Lord, those around us are going to find out. It's going to be there. It's going to be evident. If we have this new song of praise to the Lord, we have not only a passion for the Lord, we're going to have a passion for his people. People are going to notice. This person has a connection with other people. What is that? It's a wonderful fellowship. The song says, you know, we'll know they are Christians by their love. And also a passion for God's purposes. Trying to fulfill what God would have us to do. There's a motivation. When we have a new song of deliverance, a new song of redemption, there's a motivation for what we do. Is our joy observable to others who are around us? Is there an excitement? Is there a positiveness about spiritual things that all those who are around us realize this person is different? There's something different about their life. As David said, many will see it and they're going to fear. That doesn't mean they're going to be afraid of it. It means they're going to have respect. Many will see it and they're going to respect it, and it's going to bring them to a trust in God as well. So two new songs we've talked about, this new song of redemption. And then there's a new song of deliverance. Scripture speaks about another new song as well. An interesting new song, because it's a song that has not been sung yet. Yet the Lord's people can be practicing it right now. In Revelation chapter 5, and I would like you to turn to it if you have your Bibles nearby. Revelation chapter 5. And starting with verse 9. And they sang a new song. They sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked up and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That's a new song that has yet to be sung. a future day in heaven. That's the scene that we read about in Revelation chapter 5. God's redemptive plan has been completed, its consummation has been reached, and the saints are gathered around the throne of the Lord Jesus. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to sing the song of the Lamb, singing of his worthiness. A new song, but it's going to be sung for all eternity. A couple of chapters earlier, we read that wonderful praise to him who hath loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This third song is a hymn, a song of celebration. Yeah, there's a song of redemption, a song of deliverance, now a song, a celebration yet to be sung by all those who already had that other new song put within the heart. Do you have a new song? Do you have a new song in your heart this morning? Do you have that song of redemption? Remember, the secret is becoming a new creature in Christ. Are we bold in singing that new song? Do we have a boldness about it? If we don't, God is cheated of his praise. Let our light shine before others. Now, there's a notable difference between the old song and the new song in our lives. Notable difference. Can others detect that, which song it is that we're singing? And then do we anticipate the new song? Do we anticipate that new song that is yet to be sung? And are we practicing it here? Do we meditate on God's program? Do we consider what it's going to be like when time has gone and is no more? The Lord has called his people to his home, and what it's going to be like to sing that final new song. We can meditate on that here, and we can meditate on the worthiness of the Lord that we'll be singing about for a long time. But I trust that this day we have a group called New Song, and I trust that this will be a reminder to us that New Song is not just a word, but something that we need to have within us, something that we need to show forth to all those who are around us. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. I'm not going to ask our pianist and organist to come up. We're going to sing a closing hymn. I'll tell you what that is in a minute. Let's just close in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we're thankful that your word tells us of a story of redemption. And we're so thankful that it included us, and that because of our circumstances, we've been privileged to hear it and proclaim. And we're thankful for each and every one here who can testify of having that new song within. We pray that if there's someone here this morning who has to confess there is no new song in my heart, that they would be challenged to do as Paul would have us to do, to become a new creature in Christ. We pray also that we would be bold in our testimony of a new song. We pray that those around us would know where we're coming from. We pray that they would see that there's something different about us, and it's because we have a new song within. Pray that we would not give in to the old human nature that desires to sing that old song, but we'd be desiring to sing that new. And we pray that we would look forward with enthusiasm to that final new song we read about in Revelation, when your plan of redemption is complete and that eternity will have just begun, and that new song will take the place of all other songs. Just pray your blessing on the rest of this day and the rest of this week. Pray your blessing on the concert tonight, that we'd each be challenged, that we'd each be encouraged. Pray for those who sing. Pray for those who listen. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.